Let's go get it.
The guys on the inside. Green Bay Football Insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Packers win 34-20. The 5% chance that they make the playoffs is alive and well. I'm not sure Michael Cohen has booked any travel plans yet in response to that, but nevertheless, he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Writes for The Athletic. You can find him on Twitter, Michael_Cohen13. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Gunn?
Mike, did you think, what was the reason why third down seemed to be better yesterday and the whole offense seemed to be much more fluid than it had been in the past? What were the reasons for that one?
Well, I think outside of two really long third downs that they had one third and 21 and they had another third and 14. They did a nice job of keeping the distances manageable. Outside of that, I think their average distance they had to gain on third down was either 5.9 or 6.9 yards. So they were avoiding, you know, third and 9, third and 10, third and 11. And I think that helps the offense because it opens up a lot of different possibilities that Joe Philbin could call. And I also think that, you know, what Aaron Rodgers said after the game was pretty interesting. He said that Philbin, you know, created a plan that sort of defined and outlined the roles of every skill player on the team. So there were a handful of plays for Mercedes Lewis and a handful of plays for Equanimeous St. Brown, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, in doing so, you know, maybe it heightened the concentration or it allowed guys to focus in a little bit more because they knew which plays they were the designed number one target or the designed read. And I wonder if that played a part in improved execution at all, because it's something that Mike Pettine has mentioned on the defensive side of the ball. He tries to give everybody at least one personnel grouping or package in which they're a quote-unquote starter, because he thinks that it helps people become more invested in what they're doing. So those were some of the things that jumped out to me based on what we saw and what we learned yesterday.
Sometimes when a team gets a new coach, there's a bump. I mean, they play a little better. Either they're looser or they're more focused or whatever. But from Joe Philbin, actually, from a tangible sense, what did you notice about how he managed, called a game maybe differently than what you've seen from Mike McCarthy this season and the last few seasons?
Well, there was a definite balance between the run and the pass. You know, Rodgers attempted 32 passes, and then if you take away the one kneel down by Deshaun Kizer, they ran the ball 24 times. And a 24-32 ratio, or a 32-24 ratio, however you want to say it, that's pretty balanced and pretty good in today's NFL. And I thought that made a real difference. You know, Aaron Jones didn't touch the ball in the first quarter, which was surprising and weird. But from that point on, over the final three quarters, he had 20 touches. And that's a really good number for him. You know, he's not a guy that's going to get 30 carries a game. But if you can get him into the upper teens in terms of his carries, and then you add in somewhere between 3 and 5 receptions, you know, that's probably the perfect usage for him, and he rewarded the Packers with 106 combined yards of offense. So I think that, you know, the commitment to the run throughout the game, not just early, was an important thing to see. And then the way that they moved their personnel groupings in and out, you know, they had Mike McCarthy had a little bit of a pattern of being very versatile with his offense in the first and second quarter, and then sort of falling into some repetitive patterns in the third and fourth. And I thought Philbin did a nice job of keeping things fresh and keeping the personnel groupings varied throughout the game. And that's something to keep an eye on in the coming weeks to see if he can stick with that, or if it was just a very significant attempt to compensate for something that the Packers hadn't necessarily done very well lately.
Talking with Michael Cohen of The Athletic, I guess similar question with a different person. And really the most simple way to ask this question is, did Rodgers look better to you Sunday than he did a week ago against Arizona, and in which ways may he have done so?
Well, I thought obviously with his legs he looked better. You know, he ran for a season high 44 yards and was very effective when the Falcons played man coverage and finding ways to, you know, take off up the middle when it was warranted or take off up the sideline. So that was an encouragement. He also had a minimum of 3 passes that could have been intercepted. So, I mean, I know he set the all-time record for most, you know, attempted passes without an interception, but he had 2 interceptions that were flat-out dropped by the opposing team and a third that probably could have been picked off. So in that regard, I didn't think his accuracy was a ton better. The area where I thought he was improved was in the red zone and near the red zone. I thought he was more decisive. I thought he found matchups that he liked and just trusted it and went with it rather than, you know, kind of flitting from guy to guy to guy. And so I thought what you saw was, you know, the Packers putting together three touchdown drives of 70-plus yards, and they were able to punctuate long drives with touchdowns rather than field goals. So basically, I would say that with his legs and with his decision-making in the red zone, there was improvement. But I did not think that his accuracy was significantly better than it has been.
Back to the Aaron Jones. I know you said it was weird. I thought it was, too, that he came out with Jamal Williams. And after the game, Philbin said, well, Williams had a good week of practice, and it sounded like he felt that Williams felt the scheme that they were going to come out using. Did you buy that? Did you think that was their – Any particular reason why you thought that Jamal got the start there? And he even went on to say that it doesn't matter really with skill position players who starts anyway in a game.
Yeah, I bought Philbin's explanation. I mean, Philbin has a background as an offensive line coach, so he's a guy that wants to run the football and understands the intricacies of running the football and how you can block certain concepts and certain types of runs. And he said that based on what they saw on film and based on what they thought they could accomplish, there were a lot of interior runs that they thought they could take advantage of early in the game. And if you're talking about pounding it in between the tackles, you know, that's Jamal Williams' game. So if that's really what they wanted to accomplish, then it makes sense that they thought Jamal Williams would be a better fit for those styles of runs. And then when they expanded to different concepts and different ideas, they included Aaron Jones, and Jones got to the perimeter and was able to break into the open field on different styles of runs. So I thought it made sense in that regard. I don't think it made a lot of sense to start Jamal Williams, but I think if that's actually what they were trying to accomplish with that style of running, then yes, Jamal Williams fits that role a little bit better. I just don't think it's something that makes a ton of sense in the big scheme of things because, you know, I think there's ways to be more effective with Aaron Jones than relying on Jamal Williams.
Talking with Michael Cohen with The Athletic, Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, right around 8:20 here on The Fan. You can follow him, Michael_Cohen13. One thing we really haven't talked about is the offensive line. It was a little patchwork. No Bulaga in this one. No Lane Taylor. No Byron Bell. So Lucas Patrick, Justin McCray, Jason Spriggs, and even at one point Alex Light for a couple of plays asked to do a lot. How do you think those guys held up yesterday? And is there some of these guys that we're writing off, is there some potential that they could be key players for this team, if not at the end of the year, next year?
I think they performed a little bit better than I expected. You know, before the game, we were talking about some of the writers, what the over-under would be for sacks allowed against a defensive front that's pretty good. You know, they got a number of guys that can pin their ears back, whether it's Vic Beasley or Brooks Reed or Grady Jarrett or Tack McKinley. I mean, they've got guys that can rush the passer. And so we were kind of joking or you know, throwing out the idea that maybe five sacks would be the over-under, that Rodgers could have a really long day. And I think they finished with four. So I thought it was a solid performance by the offensive line, especially when you consider that they averaged 5.5 yards a carry on the ground. I mean, that's a sign right there that at least in the run game, they were doing things well. Now, Rodgers did have to escape the pocket a bunch of times. He did have pressure in his face a lot throughout the day and had a number of throwaways. But given some of the disastrous games that they've had over the last couple of years, you know, I can think of that regular season game in December against Arizona where they had neither tackle and Rodgers was just eaten alive against the Cardinals. I can think of a game, you know, in week two against the Falcons. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, whenever they opened that new stadium where the offensive line was beat up and Rodgers just got, you know, obliterated all game long. And this didn't really have that type of feel. Yeah, there were some moments when things looked a little rough. But I thought, by and large, Rodgers had a fairly decent amount of protection, and I thought the Packers played well. And I don't know if any of those backup guys can develop into starters necessarily or guys that you would want to start for a full season. But I think they have enough potential to at least be able to do what they did yesterday and is get you through a game or two here or there in a pinch without necessarily compromising the outcome of that particular week.
Mason Crosby had two field goals, hit one from 50 and 48. It's been an inconsistent year. At times he's really struggled. Do you think that maybe going into next year, they will maybe look at possibly a different kicker on this team?
I mean, I guess they could. You know, I don't really think Crosby's had that bad of a season. Take a look at, you know, his stats overall. He missed five kicks in that one game against the Lions, and four of them were field goals. He's only missed 7 field goals all season. So that means in the other, what, they've played 13 games, 14 games? I don't know. I've lost count at this point. They played 13. So in the other, 11 games, he's only missed 3 kicks. And I think that you would take that relative to the rest of the league. Now, obviously, you don't want to have the one game where it's a complete disaster and costs them that win against the Lions. But overall, I don't think he's actually been that bad. It was just the one game that's really marring what has been an otherwise steady season. Because if you go back and you look at some of his other numbers, in 2007, he missed 8 field goals. In 2008, he missed 7, and then he missed 9, and then 6, and then 4, and then 8. So essentially, the number that he has right now is not different than the number that he's had throughout his career. And what I guess I'm getting at is, again, if that one game on the radar was a big blip, then, outside of that, his season has actually been pretty strong. So could they bring in somebody to compete with him? Yeah, they could, but I don't know if it's actually, that necessary, because overall I don't think it's been, an uncharacteristically poor season for Crosby.
Michael, appreciate it. Find his work at The Athletic, Michael_Cohen13 on Twitter. We will talk to you on Thursday.
All right, thanks, guys.